that was done before we had an addition to our family. Keep lights out, it's okay. They don't want to see me, but I got to see the. There we go. I see the Bible. People have asked me, "Thank you for your prayers." People asked about what happened to my forehead. My wife took it. No, she didn't take anything. I got in a fight with a gun. Usually, the gun wins. But I'm excited. I had to shave right here, and for the first time in my life, I got two eyebrows. So I'm excited. Lord's doing a good work there. Of course, He is. But it's a pleasure of ours to be part of it. And you got your yellow light there for me. And the guy you saw a couple times, I didn't really mention his name or talk much about him, except the fact there are people that were studying to become preachers. His name is Jesus Orihuela. It looks like I'm writing in Brother Jesus in the letter sometimes. Jesus is doing great work there. He's been preaching for me since I left and doing a great job. And we're excited about what the Lord is doing in him and through him. We're praying for a spouse for him. He's a young man there. He's my age, but he's still single. And we're praying for him. The Lord would bring along his helpmeet. And who knows if the Lord will have him be a pastor of the church. I don't know, but we're doing what we can to see the work continue. We're in Acts today. If you go with me to Acts chapter 3, there's a lot I want to say, but I want to respect the time that you guys have taken out of your day and your evening to be here tonight. I know you had things to do in the morning. But Acts chapter 3 talks about a lame man that you know the story very well. In fact, you probably quote it back to me. I'd like for you, if we could, to see this portion here and to see how we can apply this really to any aspect of our lives, but particularly in missions. My job, I mentioned on the slides, in the video, that our job is a lot of things, you can name it, but basically it's being light for a dark world. Basically, it's showing what Christ can do in someone. One particular family said, "I'm glad you're here, Pastor. I preach a lot of different things," but he said, "What I have learned most from you is about a Christian home. I see you with your wife. I see the children. I see how obedient they are. I see how obedient they are, and I have learned from your preaching that this is true. I learned about discipline. I learned about love in the family, and this is what I... Great. Wonderful. We've seen drunkards come to Christ and get clean. We've seen fornicators come to Christ. We've seen adulterers get right with their spouse in the church. And it's amazing to see what the Lord is doing. But that comes through a walk with Christ. Yes, preaching the word, but if they don't see your walk, you can talk about it. And the Lord will convince them, but it's so much easier when they see what you're talking about. So pray with us while we're in Peru that we will continue to do and to preach what God has for us to do. If you will, stand with me together. Acts chapter 3. We're going to start in verse number 6. We'll go back and catch the first few in a moment. But Acts chapter 3 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "And Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." We pray with me tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your Bible, the power of it, and thank you for the message you've put into my heart. Lord, help it to come out as you want it to. Help these people, help your people, my church, to hear this message, to apply it to their lives, to apply it to their missions giving, to their own walk with you. And Lord, use it, I pray, as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I have so much I want to say. We talk about the lame man here and about how he doesn't ever ask to walk. He doesn't ask to be healed of his problem. I assume he was lame from birth. He's a lame man. They brought him there to beg for food, to beg for money, to beg for alms. And that's what he did daily. Now, the Bible talks about taking care of the poor, doesn't it? In fact, the Bible, I think it's James, says true religion is taking care of those who can't take care of themselves. It's taking care of the widows, the orphans, the poor. That is what religion really is. So it's kind of strange I get to Peru and they say, "So what religion are you?" Because I'm a white guy with a white shirt and tie. I must be a Mormon, right? So I say, "No, I'm not of a religion. I have the Bible, and this is sort of what we talk about, so you can know and follow the true God." But religion is good, but religion never saved anyone. This man is sitting outside. The Bible says here, look back with me, if you will. Verse number 1. And now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. If you're going to look for somebody to be pious towards you, to be benevolent, a church is a good place to start, right? I mean, you think you have people that honor the Lord and want to do what they're told to do by the Bible, which includes giving to poor people. And so he's sitting outside the temple. He's sitting outside the church. He's sitting in the way of people that supposedly are spiritual, supposedly are going to give him something because he expects them to have in their heart to do it. We in Peru, I learned a very important phrase. The Bible says here, Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none." In Quechua, that is, "Manan conchu Jorge," I don't have any money. What a great phrase to learn if you're coming to Peru with me. But you know what? We have so much more than money. We have so much more than silver and gold. In fact, I like how the Bible puts it here. The way Luke is talking, he says, verse number 4, "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." Well, I know what he received, but he puts it as though he didn't get what he wanted. And what would he have received from Peter and John? Maybe something to eat that day? I'm much more prone to give someone a meal than to give them cash to go out and spend on alcohol and cigarettes and other drugs. But this man expected something from them that might last him a short time. Let's say it were enough to last him a week. That'd be wonderful. But you know what? It was a lot more than that. He expected to receive something from him, but what he received went way beyond his expectation. You see, sitting outside the temple all your life, you're never going to be able to walk. That's not where it comes from. Listen to me. Alyssa, when she was little, we put our girls in dresses. We like little skirts and dresses on the girls. Well, so she began to crawl. She got that age, she began to crawl. And the way she would crawl in a skirt, it was kind of difficult because it would get caught up with her legs. She couldn't move them, so she put one foot out, and then one knee was up, and she was is a funny-looking crawl. I'm not going to demonstrate it for you. But it's a funny-looking crawl. I guess it's difficult to crawl in a skirt, I guess. I'd never done it, preacher, just to let you know. And she would crawl a certain way. And, you know, the little one came along, the next little one, because I got a little one still. Savannah came along and would see her and want to do what she was doing. But I'm like, no, don't do what she wants to do, because that's not really what you're supposed to do. But, you see, we begin to compare ourselves among ourselves. Well, I'm more faithful to church than he or she, so I must be doing okay. No, that's not where you're supposed to be. That's not the goal in life. The goal is to be like Christ, isn't it? The Bible says we have a mirror we're looking at, a glass. We look in the glass, and what do we see? Christ's image. And by glory, he's changing us to become what Christ is. Not what Pastor Ted is, although I'd love to be everything you are. But you know what? Christ wants so much more than that. He wants to be like him. This man here is begging not for legs to walk with, not for strength, not for healing. He just wants some money to eat for today because he doesn't have any other way of getting it. But Peter and John walk by and say, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Amen. There was a lady one time, I have a picture of her up there. She sits in around the main plaza, the main square of town. She sits right around the corner where people are there because she expects people that are walking by. And in Peru, you have a very Catholic culture. Such a Catholic culture that people will give to you because they're expected to. They know that they're supposed to, so they do. But this lady will sit there expecting the good Catholics to walk by and give her some money. In fact, when I took a picture of her, this was 15 years ago. No, it was not either. It was 10 years ago. She has a ring on this finger and a ring on this finger. The other day I saw her, she's still sitting there. And she has 3 rings on this finger, 3 on that one, and 2 on this one, and a few on this hand as well. You just beg money to get rings? I mean, what is this? But anyway, a pastor I know began to give to, in fact, he still does. He gives lots of money away. If he ever preaches for you, he'll probably mention this because it's a great lesson on giving. But he gave to a particular older lady that was begging for money, so he gave her a couple dollars, whatever it was. And then later on in the week, he had seen her again walk into a store or something. She tripped and fell, and all of this money just came all out of her clothes and all over the place. There's these bills she's picking up, and he's like, I'm never giving to anybody else again. Well, you see, God says to do it. He does say use some discretion, but Peter and John said, listen, I would help you with the meal if I could. I really can't. Tell you what, I got something better. In the name of my Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Don't sit here anymore. I'm going to free you from your position here. I'm going to free you from this necessity of having to sit here every day and look for bread. I like that. Preacher, turn off my clock. Oh, there it is. It is still there. I didn't see the clock all of a sudden. I already got the checks. No, I'm just kidding. The Lord freed him from that. The Lord freed him from, and he was able to walk now and do whatever he wanted to do. He's outside the temple. Look at this. He doesn't go in until he can walk. And when he can walk, what does he do? He goes into the temple. Now, I got a lot of points that I'm just skipping right over here. I want to get to the last point. But it talks about him sitting there, and it says, he took him, verse number 7, if you will, Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood. For the first time in his life, he can walk, and he jumps up onto his feet. It's amazing to me. It says, and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Preacher, you might drop my support if I started walking around like this. Oh, that guy's loony as well. You'd think I was crazy. Let's go on the retreat. Pastor, no, we're not going to do that because we're too dignified to do that. But this man said, I'm going to do it anyway. And everybody saw him doing this, leaping and jumping and praising God. And then it says, they all knew it was him. We didn't read that yet. It's coming later on. But they all knew it was that guy. You know why he was leaping and jumping and didn't care what they thought about him? Because he was saying, look what I have. Look what I can do. I've never been able to do this before. And now I can walk. People are walking by all the time. But he never has done it. You see, we're slaves to sin until Christ frees us. Now, thank you. Amen. Now, but what does that mean? I got into trouble in Peru. In fact, the Pariona, the San Jerónimo mission, I about closed it down several months ago now, but it's just what there wasn't any fruit. I could tell something was going on. The Lord wasn't blessing, and they weren't coming. They were all over the country. And the ones that were left, I don't know what's going on, Lord. So they called me and said, Pastor, we don't want you to go. We need your preaching. We will be there on Tuesday. And 50 of them showed up. Now it's about 20 or so. Every week they're there. But this young man said, Pastor, he was very kind how he said it, but I could tell he was struggling. He said, here's my problem. You said that Christ makes us free. But then you say, now you got to give your tithe. You got to give to missions. You got to come to church every Sunday. That's not freedom. I said, no. You missed that one completely. God doesn't free you to do what you want to do. He frees you to do what he wants you to do, which is to walk, to leap, to praise the Lord. You can't do it otherwise. You have no strength. So it's not about being free to do what you want to do. When he got free, he walked into the temple. I like how the Lord talks about putting action behind what you say you're going to do. Rise up and walk. And he did, didn't he? He rose up and he walked. He did more than walk. He was jumping up and he was showing, look at the legs that I've got. Our job in Peru, our goal in Peru, is not to talk about the legs God can give you, but to walk upon our own. Not talk about holiness, but to do what God's asked us to do. This man got up and did what he wanted to do. You say all the time, I want to do such and such. This guy wants to walk. I'm in Peru. My church is two blocks from a park. It's a child's park. You got like slings, slides and swings. No slings. And then people will gather, usually men, will gather in that park, and there'll be dozens of them, waiting for someone to come by and say, I've got a job to do, and I'll pay you so much. And they'll get in the car with you and go. So if you're looking for just grunt work, I guess you'd call it. I'm not going to tell you what they call it in Spanish because it sounds kind of funny in English. But if you want some grunt work done, you go there and say, look, I'm going to hire you. But you know what? These people that sit on the street corner, we call them panhandlers. Not the guys from Florida up in Pensacola. This is the guys that go around looking for money. We're called panhandlers. They come up and ask you or try to sell something and ask you for money. They stand there, God bless, I need some help, that kind of thing. And I'm looking at him, listen, I know people had needs, I know things happened, but I'm looking at this young man, strong, got more muscles than I do, standing there, I need some help. No, you don't need help, man, go find a job. But you see, I give you a job, I'm going to help you out of your situation. Come with me, I'll give you a job, and you can live happy. He doesn't want that. A lady in Peru, I did it once. I wanted to do it more, but I did it once. An older lady, not old, but older lady, she was begging for money. I said, you know what? I have some clothes at my house that need washed. Now, she didn't know I had a washing machine. I didn't tell her that. She thought she had to wash it by hand. I said, I have some clothes at my house, needs washing. Would you come to my house and wash, and I'll give you, and I'll pay you for it. No, I can't do that. No, I got to stay in here, because otherwise I won't get enough money. No. See, you say, I want some help, but you don't want help. You want to stay in your same situations you've always been in. I'd like to lose some weight. Pastor, I don't lose weight. What got to do? He'd probably say, well, quit drinking so much coffee. A little bit of coffee is fine, but not so much. I like coffee, preacher. He might say, you got to get up and run. Run? Are you kidding me? Run. Pick up these dumbbells. What'd you call me? Pick up these weights. And I know, you know, I want to lose weight, but I don't want to do all that. He'll tell me, no, you don't want to lose weight. You don't want to gain strength. You don't want to do this, because if you did, you would take the steps. I'm giving you the steps how you get to here, but if you don't do this, then you don't really want it. Lord, I want to be holy. You got some pill I can take to be holy? Because I'm not about to get up in the morning, read my Bible, and go to church, and give to missions. But I want to be holy. I want to be blessed by the Lord, but I don't want to take the steps. God says, I've given you legs. I've helped you not just to sit there and beg from day to day. I've given you a way to go about and praise the Lord. This man stood up and began to preach. He began to preach by his words. He began to leap and praise the Lord. Verse number 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and knew, verse 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. Now I wonder who you could say is amazed at the changes God has brought in your life. Who has been amazed at how good you are now? I've got an embarrassing past, one that predates my time at Lighthouse, but I have an embarrassing, terrible past. I mean, if people told you stories, I just leave. They're embarrassing. But you know what? I love it when someone says, aren't you that kid that used to? Yes, that used to be me, but God's changed me. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore, right? I'm changed. So this man is leaping and jumping. They said, aren't you that guy that used to sit there? Yes, I was. And look, now I've been saved. How are you saved, changed, healed? How are you healed? Well, he said, in the name of some guy named Jesus of Nazareth, I was healed. So our goal in Peru, yes, I want to plant churches. Yes, I want to do lots of things. I like to, my wife has in her heart to start an orphanage. Lord bless you. I'm not sure it's going to happen that way, but you know what? She loves children and wants to see it happen. You know what? Orphanage, school. I want to have an institute. I got something started, but it's not what I want it to be. I want a bigger church. I want more churches, but you know what? Just be light. Walk around praising God. Let people see the God being praised in you. They all came together wondering at this man's condition, new condition. It says, verse number 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. That's how you get a crowd. You take this wild man of Gadara, right, and you get him clothed, seated, and in his right mind. You get a crowd. You take the town drunk, and all of a sudden he's up there preaching a message for you. That's interesting, isn't it? I lost a friend last year. He had a problem with alcohol. His wife asked me into his house and said, I need you to pray with my husband because he needs help. So I went to the house. My wife was with me. We walked in together, sat down at the table. He's a drunk, and he has all these problems and financial problems, and he's always getting robbed, different things. He needs your help. Well, as I began to preach and I asked her questions, found out that she needed help too, and she was saved. Shortly after, he was saved. And he said, kind of like Paul had said, Lord, I think it was Peter. Hold on a second. I forget what he said, but it was really cool. He said, Lord, as Paul said, You saved me as an example to anybody else that they can be saved. He used me as an example, saving me, who am the chief of sinners, but God did it to show you, you can be saved too. He said, thank you for saving even me. I'm this way, I had this problem, thank you for saving me. He was very faithful for a while to church. He ran from the Lord, got back into sin, just a few weeks, and he was dead. You see, God's given you legs to walk, not to abuse them. He's given you legs to show. He's given you a walk in Christian life, okay? He's given you a way to walk to show people what Christianity is all about. I'm not going to tell on myself today. I thought I was going to. I can't do it. I have lost my testimony with one particular young lady in Peru. I don't know that I can get it back. I've tried. I've walked by and greeted her. I tried to be nice. But one day, I sort of showed that. I'm not going to tell you what I did. I have to now, don't I? Well, you're going to tell us now. It was a pride problem. And she walked away knowing that I was a pastor and knowing that was who I was. I have nothing to do with you. Oh, man. Now how am I going to get this back again? God didn't call us to show off. This guy wasn't jumping around and showing off what he can do. He was doing it because he was so happy he could finally walk. Amen. You know why some people give so much to church? I mean, if it were a big, you know, altar here with a big bucket, you know, we'd come with our money and pour it in. We don't do that here. It's sort of a secret thing. We just put it in there and there it is. There are very, very few that know how much you give. There's a reason for that. You see, we don't give to the Lord to be noticed. We give to the Lord because we love the Lord. Amen. Talking about missions, how many people come down to Peru? I forget how many there were. 8, 10? I forget how many there were now. A group came down to Peru. Each one of them spending well over $1,000. Why? Because they could. No. They gave it because they loved the Lord. They wanted to see what was going on. Brother Dan and Brother Mac, I don't know where Mac is today, but they fixed my truck the whole week long. They did $2,000 worth of work on my truck. You got to do it again, by the way. It messed up all over again, so come on back down and do it again. But God's given us a way to walk. God's given us a program. And it's not the program, by the way, I'm talking about. It's the whole idea of missions. He's given us a way to go about doing what God asks us to do and says, just walk. Well, I don't know how to plant a church. Neither do I. Just walk and just see what happens. I don't know how to preach to my neighbor. A lot of you don't go out on Saturday or Thursday or whatever days you might have for soul winning because you don't know what to say. You know, at first, it really doesn't matter. Just walk. Be a Christian. I was at work one day, a long time ago, I was working here in Indianapolis, had a secular job, we had been to Peru and I was going to go back to Peru, and I walked in and I had a shirt and tie on, received the job, I just got hired, yes sir, no sir, okay sir, right away sir, and somebody stops me and says, excuse me sir, are you a Christian? Yes. Well, you didn't say anything, I just heard the way you talk, I just figured you were a Christian. Well, thank the Lord for the way I was talking. I didn't see her back behind the cubicle. I didn't know who she was. I didn't think about her. But you know what? If you just walk, people will come to you and say, what's so different about your faith? Why do you go to that church? Why do you dress, talk, eat, drink a different way? Let me tell you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth gave me new legs to walk. I'm not going to sit and beg anymore. I'm going to do what Christ has asked me to do. I think most of you, if not all of you, have already made a decision or have come close to a decision about what you're going to give this next year. I hope you have. But you see, when it comes to this, it's like, Lord, I'm not doing it because I want to show off. Oh, Lord, I just love you. Amen. And if I can be used by you to bless somebody in a foreign country, I'll never be able to go and preach in Peru, but Marcos will go. Rob's coming, by the way. See, you know what? I'm going to do this because you've given me the strength to do it. Now help me trust you more and more. Help me to show my abilities in Christ. All things are possible with Christ. Without him, as the Bible say it in English, separated from him, or I think it's separated. Separated from him, we can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. Forgive my Spanish-English translation there. As a lame man which was healed, held John, Peter and John, all the people came together, greatly wondering. I like the next verse. I'm just going to read it and be done. Verse 12. When Peter saw it, these people are coming over just, wow, looking, patting him on the back, I guess. He answered to the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? It wasn't me that did it. I said, in Jesus' name, not in my name. Don't look at me. So when the missionary comes to your church, and he comes and tells you about the church he planted, or about the people saved, what a missionary. No, don't look at him. It's God that did it. Right? It's God that's given legs out, not me. I'm not the one to be able to heal. I didn't make the guy quit drinking. The Lord did that. I didn't help the guy get reconciled with his wife. That was the Lord's working. But you know what? Someone had to go and say, I invite you to meet my Lord. That is true. I like how Peter answered that. Don't look at us. It wasn't by my strength or my holiness. I'm so holy. There's a church in Peru. No. If it were my holiness, nothing would happen. The Lord's done it. So would you get behind what we're doing? Would you get behind missions? Would you be involved? Not only coming, giving your money, and going out. I mean as you walk. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We emphasize the go. That's great. I like it too. But you know what? The principal verb of that phrase is to teach. You're going to go. I mean, how many of you got jobs? Nobody. Preacher, I'm suffering. How many looking for a job? Most of you are going to go to a job pretty soon. Most of you are going to go to the store in a couple days. Most of you are going to go to the restaurant tonight. As you go, as you walk, show that Christ is in you. Show by the way everything you do and all your communications show that God's changed you. You're not that man. You aren't that woman that used to sit at the gate and beg, but you're walking the temple praising God, and people will greatly marvel. I don't know what God would have you to do. I don't know how much God would have you to give. I don't know what God would have you to do in regards of testifying, witnessing to your friends and neighbors and family. But would you let the Lord lead you? Would you not be ashamed of the fact that you can walk and share that strength with someone else? Share that message with someone else so they can walk too and not die in their sin. Pray with me tonight. Let's pray once again. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the many messages we can receive of it, Lord. And this one message, this one passage, it's so well known, Lord, but help us. As this man, he didn't sit there and wonder about what Peter was saying. He got up with faith. He began to walk. In fact, he was so excited he began to leap. And some would say, make a fool of himself, but it was for you. So help us, Lord. Whether we be beside ourselves or whether we be sober, it's for you. So help us, Lord. Do what you've asked us to do. I pray in Jesus' name.